Hey guys, I am interrupting our usually scheduled leadership business content to give you a life update because it's a pretty profound one in our world anyway. And I like to keep, I don't know why, but the podcast community, it feels like kind of that safe place to share. I've shared some of it on social media if you follow me there, but it doesn't always feel like a safe place to land to give all of the intricacies of what's been going on. So last time I shared here about a life update, I was sharing our blessed news. We were expecting our fifth baby and there were many developments in our world with our home and all these incredible things. And this time I'm sharing 2 months out from the initial heartbreak that we experienced and kind of the scabs that have formed, right? Like the healing process, new perspectives, and still some heartbreak that remains. So this is an episode where I'm going to do my very best to, one, keep it together, two, kind of stay in some kind of cohesive format. But to be honest, when I'm sharing from the heart and when I'm sharing something that has been so emotional and difficult and life-changing, it doesn't always come out super gracefully. So my hope is that you'll lend me some grace in the process of our sharing it. And my goal here today is to share really our story of loss and a really scary experience that my husband and I walked through after that loss. And I also want to share too the good that has come from it. It's hard to think of it that way, you know, like good coming from such suffering and pain, but it's true. And that's a big piece of life. So I want to share that perspective as well. So thanks for allowing me to do that, for allowing me to be more than just a business advisor or a leadership advisor for you. And I think you're like me that maybe you realize that so much of what we do in our business is a spillover from our actual real life and we're intertwined. And we're people who are rich in experiences and we want to share those experiences because they've molded us and they've affected our businesses. They've affected our lives in big ways. So that's definitely the case for me. And I hope if you happen to be walking a hard path or coming out of a hard season in any area of your life, or if you've suffered a loss of any kind, and more so, even if you haven't, but you feel like you've plateaued in some way, and you need to relight that spark for your life and for your business and the work that you do, because you only have one life to live, this is the episode for you. Hey, you're listening to the Luminary Leadership Podcast, and I'm your host, Liz. This is the space where we equip overwhelmed entrepreneurs to become the confident, visionary leader their business, team, family, legacy need to win. After working with countless entrepreneurs over the last decade plus, I've noticed this theme. No matter the level of success they achieved, and I've worked with some incredibly successful business owners, they get to this point where they're asking, now what? You know, what am I being called to next? What does next look like? How do I get there? If you're listening to this, you get it. You're craving more impact and you want to feel less frantic and in the weeds of your day-to-day roles and instead lead with that vision and that peace and that intention and that clarity. You want to wake up each morning with that clarity and vision and the time and the margin to do what you love in your business and in your life with your family. This show is where industry leaders come to grow into their next level of achievement and purpose and impact and legacy. Success in business and true legacy at home. Get ready because we both know you don't just need another strategy. It is time for your breakthrough. Life is certainly not a linear journey. I've definitely experienced that personally. And I think when we have that expectation on our lives, we live with a lot of disappointment, right? When we put an expectation that life's going to be easy or that it should feel simple all the time or it should be predictable or when we set those goals or when we cast that vision, everything's going to go according to plan. It just leads to such a high level of disappointment in our worlds. And the reality is that life is kind of fraught with unexpected twists and turns. And when we come to expect those things, we can navigate them with a little bit more grace. But I will tell you wholeheartedly that the story that I'm going to share with you and the update that I want to pass along to you, I wouldn't say any level of expectation of curveballs could have prepared us for what we were going to walk through as a family. We had just taken about a week off to really let the visions of our future sink in. And it was such a beautiful time in our family's life. We were expecting our fifth baby. We do this multiple times a year, right? Where we don't expect children multiple times a year, but we take time to really be out of the grind of the day to day, just kind of how we live each day in our business and in our family, to really take time to be at that 30,000 foot vantage point where we can look at our lives and really like what's going well in our lives, what's not how we want it to be, what are we going to aim at going forward, what changes do we want to make, and we really seek to set our sights on those things. So we had this wonderful week where we're out of the hustle of life, out of homeschool, out of business, not out of business, still in business, out of our business for that week, and lining ourselves up where we were called to go. And a big part of that vision for us was the expansion of our family. We're so excited and so enamored with just the blessing of having a fifth child. And it was really starting to feel real. During that week, I was starting to feel the baby kick, and there were just all these awesome moments in that time. And I feel like, too, at the same time, we were making a lot of big changes in our life. That's kind of Michael and I for you. We never do one thing at a time. We're like, oh, this one really big thing is happening. We should probably let that cascade into five really big things happening. So I shared more on previous podcast episodes, but as we were welcoming this vision of this child joining our family, we were also prepping to sell our house and move across the country and just big, awesome changes in our business, new partnerships and doors that have opened that we could have never expected to open in a million years. Just so many really cool things. And this is the part of the story that guts me. So I'm going to do my very best. Like I said, I'm about 2 months out from this experience now, and I've had a lot of time to process. So I feel like I have a lot of clarity around how I share this story at this point, but I went in for a routine when we got home from our travels. I went in for a routine check, heartbeat check, and I see a midwife, so it's usually pretty quick, right? It's just the Doppler checking. I've already done this several times in this pregnancy alone, and I've seen our healthy baby bouncing around on the ultrasound, which is always such a gift. It never gets old. And I went in for this routine check, and I walk in the door to my midwife's office, and I'm greeted by the receptionist, who's just a ray of sunshine. And she's like, oh my gosh, Katie, my midwife, she's in with one of our patients. She's crowning. She's having twins. So there's this little birth center where I delivered Nadima, our youngest. And it's such a beautiful place. And it was such a wonderful experience. I did a podcast episode on that about a year ago after I had our baby. And you're in there and you really feel like you're at home. Like there are three bedrooms where you deliver, and that's it. And usually it's only one person in there at a time delivering. So it's a very personal experience. But on this day when I went in, it was a Monday, and I walked in and I could hear through the walls this incredible woman giving birth to two babies at the birth center, which means totally natural birth, nothing to ease pain, and except these incredible midwives that do such a great job. So anyway, I go in and the receptionist's like, all right, Katie's going to run out real quick. She's going to do your Doppler check, and then she's got to get back in because these babies are coming. I'm like, okay, cool. No problem. We can make it a minute long. No big deal. So she comes in and she runs in and she's like, okay, let's go. She's all like flustered and just, you know, in the moment of the experience she's having with this other mother. And that's when she started to do the Doppler check. Now I have four babies. Four children, and every time I feel like they're always so, I don't know if it's just the shape of my body and how I carry, but I swear my doctors and midwives find the heartbeat immediately. So she always hits the nail on the head. It's almost like she had a, you know, text conversation with the baby ahead of time, like, hey, go right here and turn to this angle so I can look really talented finding your heartbeat in like 2 seconds. So she's moving the Doppler around on my abdomen looking for the heartbeat. And she's totally lighthearted about it because she does this all the time. And I'm still, you know, I'm 16 weeks at this point, and babies move and kind of hide and turn in weird angles. And I just, I don't know, maybe a minute in, I don't know, time is really relative. I can't really remember exactly, but a short window in, I started to get this weird feeling in my gut, like, why isn't she finding my baby's heartbeat? She always finds it right away. And Katie was really lighthearted about it and very reassuring. You know, I know the baby's probably just in a different position or dancing around today, giving us a hard time. Just give me a sec. We're going to find it. And she's searching and searching. And I just remember saying, you know, now we're a little bit more into the process. And I remember saying, you know, why aren't we hearing a heartbeat? You know, why is this taking so long? And I just knew, despite her reassurance, I just knew that something was really wrong. So I remember her asking, looking at me as I'm probably ghost white at this point, and her asking, you know, Liz, are you outside your body right now? Are you still in your body? You know, she could just tell I was escaping my body in that moment. And I said, no. And that's when she told me that there was no heartbeat of our baby, who we had just seen a heartbeat or heard a heartbeat, you know, maybe 2 weeks prior. So I hear a knock on the door, and it's the receptionist, and she's like, Katie, the baby's coming out. Like, you got to come in. So that moment was so, it was such a whirlwind. I felt like I was literally standing in the midst of a tornado, where I had just stepped into this new reality where my baby was not going to, didn't survive, and trying to process that. Michael didn't come with me to the appointment because it was so routine. See, all the more reason you just don't take life for granted. But we have four other kids, so it's not always a luxury to have your husband come the hour drive to your midwife's office. So he didn't come. I was by myself. And I remember just kind of tunnel vision walking to my car. Like, they were saying something to me. I don't remember what they said. And I just went to my car. And it was an hour ride home by myself. And I just felt my whole body go numb. I don't think I've ever experienced something like that, where you just really are outside yourself. And I drove that drive home. It felt like 5 hours. I didn't call anybody. I was like, I just need to get home. And I was in prayer the whole time, but it wasn't a prayer like anything I've ever prayed. Like, I wasn't begging for something to be different. I wasn't negotiating. I wasn't asking why. I just was like, I need to be in connection right now because I don't know if I will survive this drive if I'm not. So when I came home, Michael was in the kitchen. The kids were running about. It was right around dinner time. And he caught my eye, or I made eye contact with him. And I just kind of gestured for him to come into the office, which is right off our kitchen. And he came in, and I couldn't talk. Like, I couldn't say anything. You know, I was still very much trying to process. And I also didn't want to say it because that would make it real. And I just kind of looked at him and shook my head. And he said, what, something wrong with the baby? And I just said, you know, there was no heartbeat. And he was just, no, this cannot be. Like, this can't be. And just held me, and we just broke down. That was the start of a very dark week for me, where I kind of just knew I had to cocoon. If you ever had a child and you kind of get to that end of pregnancy where you need to nest, you're like, I need to feel safe, and I need to clear out clutter, and I need to be home, and I need to be cozy. It was kind of comparable to that, but it almost felt like survival. It was like, I need to be insular. I need to be in my bed. I need to feel safe. I need doors closed. Like, I don't know. It was very innate. It was very instinctual, and that was where I landed. So even just, I remember so vividly, these are weird things. I don't know why I'm sharing them, but I am. We had flannel sheets on the bed, and just even feeling the flannel, like the softness, was a comfort to me. Like, I just needed everything to feel comforting in that moment. So that next week, my husband was just incredible and poured into me and was just, I don't know, a beacon for me through that time, because we were waiting for my body to naturally go into labor. And during that, I don't have super clear memories of much besides just writing. Like, I just had to, like, get thoughts out of my head, because they were keeping me up at night. It was horrible. Nightmares, all these terrible things in that week. And so that was a Monday. On that Saturday, I still hadn't delivered the baby yet, and it was my daughter's birthday. It was our second child's birthday. And I just remember I got to come out of this bedroom because we had some family over, but it feels so hard to just be around people and to just celebrate her birthday knowing that her sibling, our child, didn't survive. So during that time, that night, I went to bed and I remember feeling, I don't know, just so devastated, so heartbroken. And the plan at that point was to deliver at the birth center, because now I'm about 17 weeks at that point, and I needed to deliver at a hospital or a birth center because I was far enough along that I had to deliver the baby. So, and I would go into labor and all that stuff. So I went to bed that night, and everyone had told me that it would be a labor, and I've experienced many a labor. So it would be painful, and there would be contractions, and there would be, you know, a warning sign to go to the hospital and all that stuff. So I went to bed and had intermittent sleep. And at about, I don't know what time, 3, 4 a.m. or something, I woke up and it all just started. Like, there was no warning. There was no intense labor. There was nothing like anybody talked about. I just started bleeding considerably and delivered the baby at home. Thank God that my best friend was staying with us at the time. And because I don't know what we would have done, because everything happened so rapidly. It was probably a little later in the morning, actually, closer to maybe 6 a.m., because I know my kids were starting to get up and I could hear them. And I was calling for Michael. I was like, you need to come in here. And so he got my friend up and she was with the kids, which allowed us to just be together and go through that birthing process that we didn't see coming that quickly. So because we didn't have that warning, it was, we didn't really know what to expect. And right after I delivered our baby, a little boy, we had a son. Jack had prayed so hard for a brother, and he got a brother, but his brother is now in heaven, and which has been a hard and blessed experience for our family. A lot of miraculous, crazy things have happened since then. But after I delivered, I immediately started bleeding considerably, and I knew it was not quite right. So, I don't know. Timelines are tough. Well, first let me say, if you've ever walked through anything like this, I am so sorry. I am so sorry for what you've had to endure and what you've had to let go of, and how you've had to say goodbye to your baby. And just even, there's nothing that can prepare you for what that experience is like, especially that far along in pregnancy. Like, I am so sorry for what you've had to witness and what you had to walk through physically, emotionally, mentally. No one can prepare you for the amount of blood loss, the just all of it, seeing your sweet little baby. And no one can prepare you for what it means to deliver your child directly into the arms of Jesus. It's just like, there's just nothing you can read on the internet. There's no doctor you can talk to. There's nothing that can prepare you for that. So if you've ever walked through that, I am so sorry. My heart is with you. I'm walking with you. I'm crawling my way forward with you. But the crazy thing is you do go through it, right? You do keep going. And it's just this amazing gift that God gives us to expand, right? Our capacity just expands to do things we haven't yet done, to face things we'd never want to face. Or if someone described it ahead of time and said, hey, you're going to walk through this, you're like, oh, heck no, I'm not. I couldn't survive that. Like, I can't go through that. And yet we do. And yet we come out the other side and we share that experience with other people who have walked through pain, and we can do it. And we do it. And here we are to tell that story of triumph, despite the heartache and despite the devastation. So I'm not going to go into a further level of detail around what happened at home, but I will tell you I started hemorrhaging considerably. And we were on the phone with our midwife at the time, and she said, you need to get Elizabeth in right away. So it was kind of a tricky situation because my children were eating in the kitchen, which we had to walk by the kitchen to get to the garage, to get to the car, to go. I was starting to lose consciousness. So this is how we knew that the blood loss in conjunction with how my body was reacting was problematic. And I also hadn't yet delivered the placenta, which if the placenta remains, you have major issues. So I was very concerned, as was Michael, as was my midwife. And she was like, you know what, she'll probably pass the placenta, but you need to get in the hospital, just get fluids. Like, she probably just needs fluids. Let's just see what happens when you get in there. But because of what happened, I had to be laid down onto the floor at home as I was bleeding, which meant I was in a pool of my blood from my shoulder down to my feet. So I'm covered, and Michael thankfully had the good sense to grab his black sweatshirt and big black sweatpants to throw over me so that the kids wouldn't see the blood. And as we were leaving, we were passing, and I was like, I gotta just book it by them. I'm about to faint. I gotta get in this car before I pass out. And Michael kind of stuffed me with a straight pineapple juice to try and like get my blood sugar up enough to get to the car. And as I was passing by the kids, who I could kind of like, I don't know if you've ever been about to pass out, but you kind of go tunnel vision, like everything's kind of blurry and you can only see what's directly in front of your face. Your eyes kind of just laser focus in, and there's almost like a whooshing in your ears. Like, you don't hear things, like there's white noise. So I could hear them saying mom or hi mom or good morning mom or that kind of thing. But I'm just kind of like, I got to get by them. I don't want them to see anything. I don't want them to know anything's wrong. My friend's got the kids. I just got to go. And I got to the mudroom, which is right beyond the kitchen and right before the garage. And I just heard clear as day, go kiss your children. So I didn't have much strength at that point, but I was like, okay, I got to just, that was clear. So I'm going to go kiss my children. So I went in and I gave each of them a big kiss and told them I love them. And then went out to the car. And on the ride there, I was starting to lose consciousness, but I still have some memory of the car ride. It was just really overwhelming. I remember being very uncomfortable and nervous. You know, I was nervous. I knew something in my body wasn't right, but I didn't feel like I had any control over that situation. So our midwife just was kind of walking us through all of the pieces of that puzzle and, you know, get her into the hospital. She called ahead for us, make sure she gets fluids right away. You want to get an ultrasound and see if there are any tissue remaining. And we had to do the unthinkable, which was, okay, so when this all happened at home, it was literally like Texas Chainsaw Massacre in our bathroom. So we locked the door. And we put our sweet son and wrapped him. But then we had to leave for the hospital. So we locked the door because we didn't want our kids to go in there. But we needed someone to come take care of our little baby that I just delivered because I couldn't bring him with me. So we had to call a friend. Our midwife said, listen, you need to call someone. They need to go to your house right away, because if his body's just on its own, it's amazing how quickly that won't last. So you need to get someone there that's going to clean him up and get him situated in a way that he'll be there when you come home without any issue. So we called the only person we knew we could call, our sweet friend Gina, who's been like family to us here. And she so graciously, not only graciously accepted, she was so honored to love our son for us while we couldn't be there. And she did. She cleaned up the whole bathroom, which, again, unthinkable ask. But she was able to keep his body safe and preserved for us. And she went back multiple times over the next 2 days, said, I came and checked on him. He's doing well. He's there. His body's okay. He'll be there waiting for you when you get home. So just a lot of layers. You know, there are a lot of pieces to the story that are so hard, and this isn't even all of it. So we got to the hospital, and at that point, I said to Michael, I couldn't walk. They had to wheel me in. Actually, I think Michael carried me in and they put me in a wheelchair because there was no chance. I was moving myself at that point. And I could just feel that I was like drenched in blood. So they got us in to the emergency room right away. And they hooked me up to fluids. Now, fluids are a gift, right? They help offset the blood loss, but they were a little deceiving because my body definitely needed those fluids, but they kind of make you perk up a little bit, like you start to feel a little bit better, but there was still a lot of evidence that there was a lot of blood loss. So what they did was they got me in, they gave me fluids, and then they checked my hemoglobin levels, and then they, what else did they do? Then I requested an ultrasound, but of course it was a Sunday at a little country hospital, county hospital, so there was nobody in. So the ultrasound took a little while because I wanted to see if there was anything remaining. But I had felt that I had passed something. I didn't know if it was the placenta. So anyway, there's a whole story to this that I'll try and piece together as best as I can. But there was kind of a frantic nature to just like getting me in, checking everything, and getting everything squared away. And once they got me hooked up to those fluids, I was feeling hopeful that, okay, maybe I did pass the placenta in this time frame since I left the house, and it's all going to be okay, you know, like as much as it can be okay after everything we went through. And that's where I was very wrong. I was oh so very wrong. I hope today's episode gave you what you needed. If it spoke to you, please leave us a review and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on the next powerful episode. And I know it's so cliche to ask for a review. It always feels weird asking for one, but you guys, that makes a huge impact on the show. We read every one of them and it helps us get incredible guests to serve you. Don't be shy. I love connecting with our listeners. You can follow along on Instagram when I'm on there at Eliz Hartke. And if there's a topic or a question or a guest you have for us, reach out, share your thoughts. You can connect at marketing@luminaryleadershipco.com. And we do this for you. So the more you tell us, the more we can serve you. Thanks for spending some time with me. I really do appreciate you. Tune in next week to keep building your legacy and becoming the confident visionary leader you are meant to be.